Starting off this hour, though, it is Thursday afternoon, and we have our own in-house gaming journalist, Nate Bender, live in studio. Gaming across the globe is a multi-trillion-dollar industry, and it is far more than just a pastime for a lot of people. It's a vital connection to community and connection, especially since the pandemic. So there's a huge size and scope of the gaming world. Economic, labor, cultural, and political issues have really propped up in the past number of years regarding gaming here in the U.S. and globally. So Nate Bender here at WDET is one of our audio engineers. He's also a longtime gaming journalist and the host of the Daily Gaming News podcast called Let's Play, and he joins us every Thursday afternoon. Welcome back to Culture Shift, Nate.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here today. Got a lot of exciting things to talk about because this is the time of the year where all eyes turn to Tokyo. It's time for the Tokyo Game Show. If you're familiar with, you know, we talked about the European version Gamescom a couple of weeks ago. But if you're familiar with E3, it's sort of like the Japanese E3, right? Japan is notorious for having an incredibly robust and thriving video game development scene. And so TGS tends to be the time of year where everyone is looking to see, okay, what anime-inspired video games are coming, what tactical RPGs. This is a big RPG show, so if you're a role-playing game fan, there's going to be a lot here for you. So I thought we would start off with some of the press conferences that happen leading into TGS, of course, starting off with the Nintendo Direct that happened on September 13th. A new Fire Emblem game got announced, Engage. It's a tactical RPG that's got a release date of January 20th, 2023. So that's coming pretty soon. It Takes Two, an incredibly popular game, is coming to the Nintendo Switch. This is a co-op platformer about a couple who's getting a divorce and working through it with a magical couple's therapist.
This is one of the most popular games?
I wouldn't say it's one of the most popular games, but it was a notoriously popular game when it came out last year. Okay. And what a cool idea for a game, right? You've got this sort of magical book. There's a couple that's going through a tough time, and this magical couple's therapy book comes and helps them out. That's coming to the Switch in November. So
I have more questions.
I know, the way we looked at each other, we did a double take at each other, Amanda.
So let's define this. So I get it is a game, but yes, in that way that we're using it, not quite in the Mario Kart sort of way, is this designed to help people through their real life relationships?
I think if you can pull something beneficial out of the story that they're telling, maybe it might provide some closure if you've had a difficult relationship, or if you're a kid and your parents are in the process of getting divorced, that might help you understand what's happening. I haven't played it myself, so I can't actually speak to what the specific narrative beats are in there, but I would imagine that there's a lot of heart to this game. The parents get kind of transformed into blobs of clay. They're like kind of like little DIY action figures, and they're set and tasked with scenarios that they have to work together to overcome. So if you're having trouble in your relationship, maybe this might be a good game to sit down and play with your significant other. But it was just such a whimsical concept that I loved when it had first come out, and think that the Nintendo Switch is an absolutely perfect vehicle for this game. We've also got Fatal Frame: Mask of the Lunar Eclipse. It's a psychological horror game where you're taking pictures of ghosts. That release date is slated for early 2023.
Those are the type of games I like to watch people play. You know, when they get like scared and you're freaking out and screaming, that's it. This is what I want. I'm waiting on those videos.
Yeah, this will be about popular on those reaction videos.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, a Wave 2 expansion pass, is coming out October 13th. A new SpongeBob SquarePants platformer is coming out called The Cosmic Shake. The release date is sometime in 2023. Fitness Boxing Fist of the North Star is a Punch-Out style game that's based on the anime Fist of the North Star. We talked a couple of weeks ago about games that help you improve your health. This is a wonderful example of that. And if you're a big fan of Fist of the North Star, it gives you something to play. It's coming out March 2023. Oddballers is coming out early 2023. An action RPG, sort of like Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, called Tunic, is coming out September 27th. We've got some Front Mission 1 and 2 remakes that are coming out sometime in November and in 2023. This is pretty cool. If you guys remember back to the GameCube, there was a really popular game called Harvest Moon: A Wonderful Life. Yeah. That's getting remade. It's now called Story of Seasons: A Wonderful Life. And this is basically just a farming and life simulator. You know, if you want a game that, you know, if you're busy all day and you come home tired and you just want to relax and check on your plants, this Harvest Moon, you cannot go wrong with Harvest Moon. It's right up there with like Animal Crossing. It's a wonderful unwinder.
I see another one coming up here. I did mention Mario Kart earlier. There's another Mario Kart coming out as well, Mario Kart 8. But what are some of the other biggest releases from this convention?
Yeah, Pikmin 4 is a pretty big release. They haven't had an entry in the game since 2013, so a big return from Pikmin 4. Bayonetta 3 is an action RPG, the next in the Bayonetta series. That's coming out October 28th. Resident Evil has some cloud versions coming to the Switch, which that's pretty cool. The Switch doesn't necessarily have the computing power to be able to run games like Resident Evil 8, Resident Evil 7. So what they're doing is they're essentially putting them on the cloud, and you can stream them to your...
How cool is that?
Yeah, your Nintendo Switch. It is pretty cool. And then this was the big one for me, Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. It's getting a big remake. This has been in the works for a while. It's part of Square Enix's push to reimagine Final Fantasy VII. That got a release date of December 13th. And, you know, listen, it's not a big one for me, but I think that this is going to be big for some other people. Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe, that's coming out February 24th, 2023. Kirby game, can't go wrong with that.
You can never go wrong with a Kirby game.
And of course, we have been waiting for a while to hear about the sequel to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, now called Tears of the Kingdom. The release date set for May 12th, 2023. So that's exciting.
Nate, you make me want to get back into gaming like hardcore, like back when I was much younger. But one of the releases I see here before we move on is the Just Dance 2023 edition.
Oh, yeah.
I was obsessed when Just Dance dropped, so I know this one's going to be even better than the previous versions, and I can't wait to see what this one looks like because I absolutely remember all of those routines from the Just Dance video games.
You know, I Just Dance was never one that I got into. I was a little bit more of a Guitar Hero type myself.
Same.
Rock Band was always was really big in my dorm room when I was going to college. But Just Dance 2023, the next iteration of that game coming out, super exciting and going to be available for the Switch.
All right, that is a lot of the games that have been announced for releases coming out of the news coming out of the Tokyo Game Show happening right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. As we speak, actually, more and more announcements. One of the ones that was really big from Tokyo Game Show, and we've seen some trailers of this, we saw it at Gamescom, but Street Fighter VI has this amazing visual style and aesthetic. They're bringing in, street and graffiti sort of visualization. I love this game. And I, listen, I think the first Street Fighter game came out when I was like 4 or 5 years old. This is a game that I have that's been in my life for as long as I have had consciousness. I've never really been that into Street Fighter, if I'm being completely honest. I played it a little bit in arcades growing up and, you know, at school dances when there was the Street Fighter arcade there. But I've never really been into fighting games, but there's something in the visual style of Street Fighter VI that makes me want to get into this game and get into it big time. It looks really, really cool.
I was watching something recently about some of the things that they were showing, some of the visuals that they were been releasing about this new the new Street Fighter, and they talked about how Chun Li's outfit changed. And I know it's something so small, so subtle, but people talked about how beautiful the update to her outfit was and how it's grown with her as a character.
Absolutely.
And Street Fighter, and I just thought, you know, like you said, it's been with us our whole entire lives.
Totally.
So just to see it growing and adapting and evolving with the new generation of gamers, it's amazing to see. I love to see it. And I hope that if they do a movie, they do it right this time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we can argue about the effectiveness of the very first Street Fighter movie. There's something about Jean-Claude Van Damme's performance in it that just makes me giggle every time I see it. But I mean, it's Raul Julia as I can't remember the character's name now. M. Bison. There we go.
Yes.
You know, just some wonderful moments. In fact, that was Raul Julia's last film that he did before he passed away. I don't know if you know that, but still speaking of Street Fighter VI, though, we got Ken Dhalsim and E. Honda revealed for the lineup there. Those are big deals. Dhalsim sporting a nice big beard. Love that. There's going to be a closed beta test from October 7th to October 10th. The release date is somewhere in 2023, so keep an eye on the Capcom website if you're interested in being one of those beta testers. I know that I am, but a lot more coming out of that Capcom showcase. Of course, Monster Hunter's Rise, there's Resident Evil 8, there's going to be a DLC Winter's expansion on October 28th, which adds a third-person view, a new character Rose with a brand new storyline, and so much more. There's so much that was coming out of Tokyo Game Show. And of course, we're going to be continuing to, you know, keep an eye on that and see how that progresses.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have some updates from you next week on the One Update. And I want to get in this before we move on to the next segment. National Video Game Day was Monday, and we would love to hear your favorite video game of all time. Get at us on Twitter at our Twitter page is at DET Culture Shift, and we're going to read some of those off at the end of the segment. Okay, Nate, let's get into the meat of the One Update this week. And this is a gamer profile, but a big one.
Yes. So this is Algebra. He's a gamer, a Valorant player, a content creator, and he's also a middle school math teacher. And this was fascinating to me because I had come across his video for the YXL project that we'll talk about here in just a minute. But I am always fascinated by gaming where gaming probably shouldn't be, right? In the classroom is, I think, maybe the first thing that people think about when they're like gaming and something else, right? Like, you got peanut butter in my jelly, you got jelly in my peanut butter, you got gaming in my classroom. And I was so curious how this worked, I reached out to Algebra, which is Algebruh, follow him on all of the socials, and I asked him, how much does gaming actually play a role in his classroom?
My classroom last year, and partially this year, it's still in the works, but gaming themed. We have a Discord board in our classroom, which is like our word wall. Our data display last year was Mario Kart's Rainbow Road, and the further you were up on the road was like the higher grade average. I mean, the kids ask me all the time, like, do you play Call of Duty? Are you Fortnite? Like, do you play anything? And so we talk about it, and I try to incorporate it whenever I can. Sometimes the content is just either above their level, or I don't want to push something out there where they won't relate, and then it will confuse them more.
And, you know, I think that that's a really excellent point, because one of the things that I learned going through school is how important it is to meet kids where their natural interests are. And I tell this story all the time, but I was forced to play an instrument. Fourth, fifth grade, it's mandatory. You have to pick an instrument and you have to play it. Wanted to play drums. Parents were like, nope, that's not going to work. So I was forced into playing the violin, an instrument I wasn't interested in. And we were playing music that didn't really do anything for me until they taught me how to play the theme from Jurassic Park, which was a movie that my little 9-year-old heart was obsessed with. And that opened up the world of music to me and made learning music fun and interesting. So I wanted to know from Algebra how important he thought it was to meet kids where their natural interests are.
I think it can be a make or break for them buying into what you're teaching. I think the stereotypical question that you get as a teacher is, when are we ever going to use this in the real world, right? What is the real world application? Why do I need to know what 2x plus 5 equals 9 is, right? Why do I need to know that? And I think if you can present it to them in a way that ties with their interests, they're going to buy in more. And it's going to just increase their efficacy in terms of wanting to do well and at least try. A lot of kids with math shut down immediately because they've had a bad experience or it doesn't click for them. But if you can find ways to genuinely integrate their interests, it allows their doors and their walls to kind of come down and they'll at least give it a try. And I think that can kind of open their eyes and be like, oh, this isn't that bad. Or maybe I will use this later on when I didn't even expect to.
So that's Algebra. He's a gamer, a Valorant player, a content creator on TikTok with 116,000 followers. And he's also a middle school math teacher.
Yeah, I think I love what he was just saying there, because especially with something like math, it is an abstract concept. It doesn't really, you don't really know how it's going to apply to your life when you're getting into deeper subjects like algebra, trigonometry, all those other things. You know, and so his passion for making that accessible to kids and interesting, I think just, I really love to see more. Would have loved to have that more in my middle school education too.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what I thought the entire time I was talking to him. Man, this is a guy that I would have loved to have as a teacher growing up. I would have really gravitated towards this. But algebra is right now on his way to New York because he participated in something called the NYXL YXL Youth Content Creator Program. And this is so cool. The New York Excelsior, which is an esports team out of New York, has been looking for new content creators to bring into their program and signed them to a full-time content creation contract. And so Algebra, as we are speaking, is on his way out to New York to see if he is going to be signed to this YXL project. And this was the video that really kind of caught my attention.
I bet you didn't know there's more to teachers than what you saw at school. Watch this.
Nice. You want to play? Let's play.
I teach in hopes of turning content.
And this video is so unique and so attention grabbing. He's in the classroom. He's, you know, playing Valorant. And, you know, I think that this is a really, really inventive and clever way to approach not just teaching, but content creation and standing out in terms of content creation. You know, this guy just, you can clearly tell he loves what he does. And so I asked Algebra how he felt about his chances around his TikTok submission for the YXL project.
I know, just speaking about my video, it's my favorite piece of content I've ever put out. It is authentically me to a T. It covers my teaching. It covers how I incorporate teaching into gaming. It covers how, you know, I take the game seriously, but also have fun. And I think part of it is also, as a teacher, you want to be either a positive influence or a motivator for your students. And I think I try to incorporate that in my video as well.
It's just absolutely so cool to hear from him and his obvious huge passion, huge creativity in the teaching field. And I can only imagine, it's probably something you didn't get into with him, but where he does teach, I imagine it's probably a very supportive environment, allowing him to take these, I don't want to say risks or anything, but take these leaps.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to think that some of that content, you know, parents might find objectionable, but I think wading in with both feet and meeting kids where their natural interests are is the smartest way to form a connection with them. So best of luck to Algebra out there at the YXL project. Hopefully things go well for him, but just a really fascinating gamer that I thought I would share here on the program. So earlier in the week, and in fact on September 12th, it was National Video Game Day. And, you know, on Twitter, we had asked our listeners over at the WDET Twitter what their favorite video game ever was.
And it was fascinating.
Which is a very difficult question. So before we actually read some of their responses, I kind of wanted to put it to the room. Tia,
yeah,
what is your favorite video game ever?
It's so difficult because, you know, I grew up with an older brother. He played video games all the time, so I was constantly watching him play tons of different games. Then I started to play myself. And, of course, for me, it was Crash Bandicoot, The Raft of Cortex.
Yes.
It was probably the game I played 100 times, like just constantly, and I beat it. I did.
Did
okay,
you?
Yes, I did.
Nice.
Yes, I did. I was pretty good, I might add. And right now, I play The Sims, so I'm pretty basic as it is. You know, I'm I work. You know, got things going on. So
The Sims and the never-ending DLC.
Yes, you know, this is where we are.
Yes, Amanda, how about you?
Man, that's a hard one. I never been a big gamer. What have I played though? You know. I really like old school arcade games. If I'm gonna play anything, you know, Duck Hunt was always pretty
yeah.
fun.
Yeah,
there you go.
You know, wouldn't do duck hunting in real life, but
but virtually, there's no harm, no foul.
No. Yeah.
Get it?
Wow.
No foul.
Woo.
Boom. We could just end the segment right
fire.
There.
Fire.
Sorry. but you know, we got some really great responses, like this one from Sasha Jackson, who said the Tekken series and Sonic. No one can pick just one. Mm-hmm. I'm right there too, because I'm currently wearing my favorite game on my shirt, Chrono Trigger, and that's my favorite old school RPG. It is one of the greatest games that's ever been made. But if I had to pick a favorite right now, in this immediate moment, I'd have to say Elden Ring, which only came out less than a year ago and is maybe the most enthusiastically I've ever played a game. So there's mine. Annalise Frank on Twitter said the answer is unequivocally Jack and Daxter.
I remember playing that a lot.
I also, growing up, played a lot of Jack and Daxter. Old Man River on Twitter saying, tough one. Fallout 4 or Skyrim, I just keep going back over and over and over.
Good choices.
And, you know, it doesn't hurt that you can mod those games as well. So if you ever get bored in Skyrim, you can just, you know, with a simple download, here's a whole new landmass for you to explore.
That's how I am with The Sims. What mods.
Yeah, absolutely. Robbie Landis, good friend of mine, said Final Fantasy VII was the first game to affect me in such a profound way that it stayed with me afterwards. It was the first time I realized the power of gaming on an artistic level, the same as movies, music, or books. It was a story, not just a level to conquer or a high score to beat.
Yeah, the thing about Final Fantasy, which I played Final Fantasy, I do really, really enjoyed it. But the thing about it is, like, kind of, I don't, you know, maybe on its own almost, because it is such a narrative experience, mm-hmm. and you really do begin to care for the characters, what they, their backstory and what they're going through.
Absolutely. Final Fantasy has had one strength the entire time that it's been a game, and it's been the storytelling that they're able to accomplish.
It's like a playable anime.
It's
a playable anime.
It literally is. So Final Fantasy VII was a lot of people's first kind of foray into understanding the narrative power of video games. I think for me, it was Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid is one of the most narratively impressive games that I've ever played, especially when you consider that it came out in, what was that, 1997 or 98, somewhere around there. It was incredible. Malachi Barrett saying, this is tough. My favorite is the Devil May Cry series for its polished, stylish action. I also really enjoy LSD Dream Emulator for the pure experience of traveling through someone else's subconscious.
I was just reading that one, and I just thought, it was like, man, you can just do that when you're dreaming.
Yeah, kind of. LSD Dream Emulator is a slightly different experience because I wouldn't compare it to being on LSD, and I wouldn't compare it to being in dreams either. It's odd. It's a very weird experience. Don't get me wrong, but it's also a little bit inexplicable as well. But Malachi, that's interesting. I've never seen that said before. Yeah. That LSD Dream Emulator was someone's favorite game.
That's pretty cool, Malachi. Lucid dreaming.
Look up. There you go. And we'll end with Lloyd RNG, good friend of mine, writer for the Let's Play podcast that I do, says, I started gaming at the age of 3. My first game was Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. And in the subsequent 26 years of gaming, I haven't played a game that has captured my imagination quite like that. Well, it is one of the best games ever made,
yes.
Lloyd.
Yes.
So, you know, that would probably help a lot.
You know, I'm going to change my answer.
Yeah.
My favorite video game of all time.
Okay.
Earth, 21st century.
Earth?
Living here.
Okay.
Boom.
Okay. There you go. The Matrix. There we go.
Thank you so much. Nate Bender is our in-house gaming journalist here at WDET. He is the host of the Daily Gaming News podcast, Let's Play. Thank you so much, Nate.
Thank you.
This is Culture Shift here on 101.9 WDET. We've got Rob Reinhart's Pick of the Week is next, and then we'll get into the dance party.